نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك، وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته، والله يعصمك من الناس، إن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن ربي داعيا وإنه سائلي هل بلغت؟ فقد بلغت، فليبلغ الشاهد منكم الغائب، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, we have reached that period of the Islamic calendar wherein the fifth pillar of Islam, that fundamental universal ibadat, has reached its culmination. The pillar of Islam that I am referring to is that of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks of Hajj in the Quran, Allah ta'ala says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, that through this amal of Hajj, through this fifth pillar of Islam, لِيَشْهَدُوا, you will make shahadat, you will see, you will perceive مَنَافِعَ. This word manafi' is an Arabic word that is in the plural. Allah Ta'ala says you will see multitudes of benefit through this amal of Hajj. Let us pause at this juncture and compare the other pillars of Islam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of salah in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions certain benefits that are attached to salah. The primary benefits Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that if the salah is carried out properly, then through the salah, Allah will cleanse you, Allah will free you from shamelessness, from inequity, from munkarat, from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is one pillar of Islam. Another pillar of Islam is zakat. When Allah Ta'ala speaks of zakat, also certain benefits are mentioned in the Quran. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ, that if the zakat is discharged correctly, then what are the benefits? Allah will purify your wealth, Allah will protect your wealth, Allah will increase your wealth, and you will earn the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, when we look at another pillar of Islam, that of fasting, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, Allah Ta'ala says, if the sawm is carried out correctly, then what we will give you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, the benefit is that you will acquire taqwa, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ta'alluq and relationship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point I am making is when it comes to the other pillars of Islam, in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions certain specific benefits. But when it comes to Hajj, Allah Ta'ala does not mention specific benefits. Allah says, لِيَشْهَدُ مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. When it comes to Hajj, you will witness and you will perceive many, many benefits. In other words, too numerous to mention. The question we may or may occur to us is that Hajj, everyone doesn't carry out every year, nor is it obligatory on everyone. It's obligatory upon mu'minin al-aghniya, upon those who are financially well off, who are healthy, those who can afford it, and that too once in a lifetime. But if we look at the terminology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in Quran when it comes to Hajj, one lesson we learn, which is very, very important, that it doesn't mean that if you didn't go for Hajj this year, or Hajj is not even farz upon you, that the benefits and the asbaq and lessons of this amal of Islam, this great rukun and pillar of Islam, it does not mean that we are freed or absolved of revisiting them. One example, many examples there are. Jumu'ah, unfortunately, time is always a constraint. When Allah Ta'ala speaks of Ka'batullah, I'm going to translate the verse. Inshallah, if we listen with proper attention, we'll understand. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna awwala bayt. Allah is talking of Ka'batullah, where we proceed for Hajj. What does Allah say? Inna awwala bayt. Verily, the first house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna awwala bayti wudhi'a linnas. Where is it? Where is the first house? Where is Ka'batullah? In the heart of the Middle East. In Makkah Mukarramah. Yet Allah Ta'ala says, wudhi'a linnas. This first house, Ka'batullah, has been placed on this earth for the entire humanity. Linnas. Geographically, allati bi Bakka. It is, Bakka is another name for Makkah. Inna awwala bayti wudhi'a linnas. Alladhi bi Bakkata. It is in Makkah Mukarrama. But wudhi'a linnas. Allah says we placed it for the whole humanity. And then what is it for the whole humanity? Mubarakan. It is barakah. It is blessing. Every salah, just now you will make salah, where are you facing? What is the sabak and lesson? Why is it wherever you are in the world, you have to face Makkah? Allah Ta'ala says, wudhi'a linnas, it has been placed for the whole world, for the whole humanity. Allati bi Bakkata, mubarakan, it is barakah, it is blessing. And then, to accentuate this point further, to further emphasize it, that it is not for the Middle East and not only for Makkah, not only for Saudi Arabia, not only for the Arabian Peninsula. What does Allah say? Wahudallil alameen. Wahudallil alameen. Makkah, Ka'batullah is the markaz of hidayat for the entire alam. Hidayat will spread from there to the whole world. And ulama-i kiram mentioned this. Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahullah in his Lataiful Ma'arif. He says, Sayrul Qulub, Ablagh min Sayril Abdan. Kam min wasilin bi badanihi ila al-bayt. Wa qalbuhu munqati'un an rabbil bayt. وكم من قاعد في بيته في محله وقلبه متصل بالمحل الاعلى. Many of us think Hajj is a physical journey. This is why this mindset comes. Hujjaj went, alhamdulillah, it doesn't involve me. I didn't go this year, coronavirus or pandemic or whatever restriction, because we consider this to be a physical journey. So it doesn't apply to me. My respected brothers, Hajj every year is not a physical journey. In every salah 5 times a day, you are required to make this journey. You are facing Ka'batullah. It is not a physical journey. Just now we did Qurbani. There also, what does Allah say? لَيَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah says the flesh and blood of the animal doesn't reach Allah. You're passing the knife over the neck of the animal, that also is not the goal. What is the goal? يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. What is inside reaches Allah. What is inside? Coming back to Hajj, Ibn Rajab Hanbali, Sayrul Qulub. He says it is not a physical journey, it is a spiritual journey. And more effective than the physical journey of the body is the journey of the heart. How many people there are that physically have reached Ka'batullah? They are holding the ghilaf of the Kaaba also. But, kam min wasilin bi badanihi ila al-bayt. Physically, they've reached the Kaaba. Bodily, they are there. They're holding the ghilaf of the Kaaba. Wa qalbuhu munqati'un an rabbil bayt. But the heart is cut off from the Rabb of the Kaaba. So physically, they are gone there. The heart is somewhere else. On the other hand, how many people there are that are sitting thousands of kilometers away, in their houses, on their beds, but قَلْبُهُ مُتَّصِلٌ بِالْمَحَلِّ الْعَالَىٰ. Not for 1 second is the heart ghafil or negligent of the Rabb of Ka'batullah. The object is a spiritual journey. The object is a journey of the heart. When it comes to the other pillars of Islam, today salah is there. Fahsha and munkarat is not coming out of their lives. Person is a five-time musalli, yet he leaves the masjid and where does he go? He goes to his house, and the first thing you walk into the house of a Muslim today, Allah forgive us, is that instrument of zina, instrument of shamelessness, instrument of behayai, 30-inch, 40-inch, 50-inch plasma screen glaring at you. When you walk into the house of, leave a kafir, a Muslim, an instrument of zina and shamelessness from the masjid to that, and yet Allah says, salah will rid you of that. Why? Because the salah we are making is not salah. Exactly like that, my respected brothers. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, Ya'ti ala nasi zamanun. Tahujju agniya ummati littanazzu. Wa usatuhum littijara. Wa fuqarahum lilmasala. Wa qurrahum liyai wa sum'a. He said, a time will come upon my ummat. For the rich people, Hajj and Umrah will become a holiday. For the middle classes, a commercial enterprise. For the poor people, a begging expedition. And even the ulama, the qurra, those who have the knowledge of deen, for them it will become a showing of exercise. In other words, that which Allah says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, that through this amal, the ummat will get multitudes of benefits. We will become deprived of those benefits because the ruh and the essence of that amal will come out. What is the ruh and what is the essence and what is the haqiqat of Hajj? And what is it that as an ummah globally every year we need to revisit? We need to remind ourselves. We need to become conscious of. There are many aspects. And like I said, time constraints, but one very, very important aspect, which I referred to in that verse of the Quran, which I mentioned, where Allah said, "Hudal lil alamin, Makkah, Kaabatullah, this amal of Hajj is the markaz of hidayat for the entire alam." When we speak of the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, more often than not, the first thing that comes into mind is what? Hajjatul Wada. The farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But that was not the only Hajj that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam received Nubuwat, from the first year of Nubuwat, the effort and the amal of Hajj started. Every year, even amongst the mushrikeen, they used to make Kaaba, they used to make Tawaf naked. There were 360 idols in Kaabatullah. 360 idols in the markaz of Tawheed. Yet despite that, when the Qabail used to come from throughout the Arab world for Hajj during the days of ignorance and jahalat, there was one personality in Mina, tent to tent, person to person, individual to individual, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. Say لا إله إلا الله and you will become successful. Person to person, individual to individual, untold hardship, untold persecution, untold difficulty. How as an ummah today can we think of Hajj? Can we consider the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and still be blind to this reality? What was his Hajj? What was his Mina? What did he do in Mina? Today many of us will go for Hajj and come back. And what will come back with? Some tasbihs, some zamzam from there. And then we don't want to talk about what we'll buy in the marketplace there. And you ask the person, "Why? You went there and you brought things that will help people to break Allah's command from Makkah and from Medina Sharif. Why were you spending your time in the marketplace?" What is the common answer that is given? Hajj and Umrah we go for half the time in the shopping malls. And what's the common answer? "I'm buying hadiyah because of barakat. I'm buying hadiya because of barakat. Maulana Ihsan Sahab, down barakatu. He says, bhai, why don't you consider the things that you are buying there are not made there? You saying barakat of Makkah and Medina, it's not manufactured there, it's coming from other places. Made by people whose every day is in sharab and every night is in zina. Exported to Makkah. You waste your time in the shopping malls and buy those things and you say barakat of Makkah and Medina. He says, if you wanted the actual barakat, you should have brought the sand. What barakat is there in those things that are made by people whose every day is in sharab and every night is in zina? What was the haqiqat? What was his mina? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do there? That unfortunately many of us are oblivious of, even having been there. One person, youngster, he says, I stood on the mountain of Abu Qubais and I looked down at the plains of Mina and I saw this person, 10 to 10, person to person, giving da'wat, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَفَلَ فِي وَجْهِ. Some of them spat in his face. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَثَى عَلَيْهِ التُّرَابِ. Some picked up sand and flung it at him. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ سَبَّ عَلَى وَجْهِ. Some of them swore at him. They insulted him. They mocked him. They persecuted him. They beat him mercilessly. Yet this did not dissuade him. Such was the dard. Such was the pain. Such was the cry in the heart. Person to person. Person to person. Person to person. Hattan tasafan nahar. He says, I was standing on the mountaintop and looking at this. He says, the sun reached its zenith. It was the middle of the day in the desert climate that is the hottest, boiling hot sun. He says, finally, this person, I saw him, he sat down exhausted. A little girl I observed ran, came running towards him. Jariyatun wadi'a. It's mentioned in the riwayat, the beautiful young girl, like a flower. Baby, she started running towards him. She was sobbing and crying to see, distressed as a child would be, to see their father in this type of condition. Body full of dust. Signs all over his body of beating. This child, in her distressed state, wanted to offer some sort of comfort. Wanted to console her father. She herself was sobbing and crying to see his condition. So as little children in their innocence do, what did she do? He says, I saw this child, she took out her handkerchief, a piece of cloth, and she started wiping her father's face to offer some sort of comfort according to her understanding. He says, I was looking down at this. He consoled this young child, embraced her, and said, La takhshay ala abikil ghayla. Do not fear, Allah will not disgrace your father. So he says, I turned to my father and I asked him that who is this person? He said, this is Muhammadur Rasulullah. That time he had not brought Iman, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Muhammad the son of Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the young girl was Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was Hajj. This was the Mina of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That as an ummah today, we talk about Hajj and think about Hajj, but we don't think of this aspect of Hajj. Why? Because it doesn't appeal to our nafs. Year in, year out like this. The hijrat to Medina also was because of this effort. 11 years like this. Then Abul Haytham bin Tayhan, Ubadah bin Samit, As'ad bin Zurara, Abdullah bin Rawaha, Nu'man bin Haritha, and one other Sahabi. 6 youngsters from Medina Munawwara in the 11th year. That time it was known as Yasrib came. Late one night in Mina. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw them late at night. Little bit on the side of Jamaratul Aqaba. The moment he saw them after a day of beating and persecution, exhausted, still, like a lantern as the light is about to go, it gets a spurt of energy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam approached them. And what kind of da'wat? Quran, the last two rukus of Surah Ibrahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Two entire rukus he read. And these six people, in that two rukus, finally comes to the last verse of Surah Ibrahim. And what is that verse? Allah says, Hada, this Quran, this Sharia, this deen is what? Balaghul linnas. It is tabligh for the entire humanity. Hada balaghul linnas. وَلِيُنذَرُوا بِهِ وَلِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ وَلِيَذَّكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. When they reach this verse, their hearts are melted. And every one of them takes the bayat of Islam on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through this Hajj, the road to Hijrat open. Through this Hajj, the movement to Medina open. And then finally, in the Hajjatul Wada, the final year, the last moments, 3 or 4 months remain of the sojourn of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this earth. On the 9th, he gives a khutbah in Arafah. Morning of the 11th, the surah of the Quran comes down. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. What is this surah? I'm not going to go into the tafsir or translation. We've already run out of time. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he heard this, he burst into tears. Why? Because he understood that in the surah, Allah is informing his Nabi that the time of your departure is very near. This surah is revealed, delivers the same khutbah he gave on the 9th, but with a difference. The uncle of Abu Yazid, Ruqashi radiallahu ta'ala, and who holding the reign of the camel Adba, Abu Bakra standing on the flank of the camel, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses that plus minus 124,000 that is in Mina. No mic system. Miraculously, the voice reaches the ears of every person. Like I said, the same khutbah of the 9, but one addition. What addition? Asa Allah talqawni ba'da ami hada. O my ummah, after this year you will see me no more. In other words, this is al-wida. I am bidding farewell to you. Imagine someone's beloved father or mother on their deathbed. They hold the hand of their only child or their children and whisper those last few words. Wallah, no matter how hard-hearted you may be, those last few words of your beloved as they were on the bed during a terminal illness and they are bidding farewell, those words remain with you for the rest of your life. This is Asa Allah Talqani Ba'da Amiha. This is what it was for Sahaba. Many of them, this is the last time they are seeing him, the last time they are listening to him. He gives the khutbah, and at the end of the khutbah, this Quran, this Sharia, this deen, Hada Balaghul Linnas, Allah says this is tabligh for the entire humanity. Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O my Nabi, make tabligh. This zimedari, this responsibility, this burden of tabligh, of the hidayat of humanity was so ghalib, pressing down so much on the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when he received this news, the time to leave is near, he gives this khutbah, and at the end of it, he asks one question, Hal ballagh? Hal ballaght? Have I fulfilled the haqq of tabligh? Have I fulfilled the haqq of da'wat and tabligh? Conveying this message, the dard and worry for the hidayat of humanity. Sahaba, like a kaleidoscope, the 23 years of qurbani, of sacrifice, of hardship was in front of them. They saw what happened in Taif. They saw the way his daughters were given talaq. They saw the poverty, the hardship that he underwent. They saw the months that would pass and the stove would not be lit in his house to even cook food. They saw the two stones that he would tie to his stomach. They saw how in front of him, his beloved lives were slaughtered, were given in front of him. And yet, like a mountain of fortitude, he put them onto sacrifice, and then more sacrifice, and then more sacrifice, with one goal, the hidayat of humanity. They saw this. So when he asked the question, hal ballaght, in one voice, they said, ballaght al-risala, wa adayt al-amana, wa nasaht al-umma, wa kashaft al-ghumma, wa jahadta fi sabilillahi haqqa jihadi. Ya Rasulullah, you fulfill the haqq of tabligh. Allahumma shahad, he raised his finger up, shahadat finger, pointed it to the heaven. And he said, oh Allah, you be a witness. Three times, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad. And then he uttered those timeless words. فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ In the riwayat of Allama ibn Kasir, rahimahullah, the crux, لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي وَلَا أُمَّةَ بَعْدَ أُمَّتِي There is no Nabi to come after me and no Ummat after this Ummat. So who was the pain for? The pain was for every person, you and I, to come till Qiyamah. So he said, this tabligh of mine, this dard, this pain, this responsibility, this 24 hours of my daily life, I am handing it over to every Ummati. Every one of you is now responsible for this, to take it to the four corners of the world. That majma that was in front of him, where are their graves? Uqba bin Nafi radiallahu anhu, Algeria. Abu Lubaba Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Tunis. Abu Zum'at al-Balawi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Tunis. Ruwaitha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Libya. Abdurrahman bin Abbas, Ma'bad bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Northern Africa. Humama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Isfahan, Central Iran. Abu Zum'at al-Balawi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Tunis. Ma Amr bin Maadi Qarib al-Zabidi, Nu'man bin Muqarrin al-Muzani, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in Nihawin, Abu Rafi Ghifari, Abdurrahman bin Samura, radiyallahu anhuma, Khurasan, northeastern Iran, Rib'i bin Ziyad al-Harisi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sijistan, Abdurrahman al-Ghafiqi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Southern France, Abu Ayyub Ansari, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Istanbul, Abu Talha, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rome, Abu Fadl bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Syria. Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Homs in Syria. Uqba bin Amir Juhani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Egypt. Amr bin As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Egypt. Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Iraq. As'ad bin Furat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sicily. Bilal Habshi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Damascus. Fadl bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala, Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Damascus. Shurahbil bin Hassana radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, banks of the river Jordan. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Jordan. Dharar bin Aswad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Jordan. Zayd bin Harisa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Jafar bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Muta in Jordan, and the list goes on. They, that majma in front of him, on this I will terminate. Understand the ramification of this. With absolute zimedari and responsibility, they heard in their ears the virtue of salah in Makkah Mukarramah, in the haram of Makkah. What is the salah? What is the value of it? You make 5 salah a day in this Henry Road Musalla, or in Hilal Masjid, or wherever your masjid is. You make 5 salah a day. Making 1 salah in the haram of Makkah is equal to 100,000 of these salah. How long it will take you? 55 years, 6 months and 20 days. 5 salah every day will take you 277 years. 7 months and 10 days for 5 salah to equal 5 salah in the haram of Makkah. This majma heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with absolute zimedari and responsibility conveyed it to you and I. Yet their graves are not in Makkah. Their graves are not in Medina. 90% of them, their graves are scattered throughout the entire world. Why? What did they return with from that Hajj? What did they understand? And what do we understand? Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, if the majma, that 2 or 2.5 million of 1 year's Hujjaj understand the message of Mina, then by the Qasam of Allah, it is sufficient for the hidayat of the entire humanity. Badr was only 313. That 2 or 2.5 million, if they just take this sabak, it is sufficient for the hidayat of the entire humanity. As an ummat, more than 1 billion today, we are not taking the sabak. Tabligh and dawat and tabligh has become the work of one group or one organization. or wherever it's been done, shabash, mashallah, but that it pertains to me. But that my Nabi on his dying moments, in his last message, gave me this responsibility. That he was Khatamun Nabiyin and no other Nabi is to come and it is my responsibility. That understanding, unfortunately, the Ummah has lost the essence of it. So these are the asbaq and lessons. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ Allah says through this Hajj, there are many benefits. If as an Ummah we accept it, if as an Ummah we understand it. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhidah.